We'll prepare for our second session by pausing for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Now, Father, as we continue the study, it is our prayer that the Holy Spirit will instruct us so that we can not only understand this passage, but its application to our very lives. We lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We're taking a look now at a passage in 1 John 1, verses 6 through 8. It's going to sum up verse 11 for us. When believers live a lie, they execute the lie and become an embodiment of the lie. And 1 John 1, 6 begins the passage this way. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, and he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The definite article to in the noun pseudos is translated the lie. It's important to see that. This sets the lie apart from the general category of sins. The lie, with the definite article, isolates behavior patterns, character traits, and lifestyle into a category of a sinful state of mind. The lie, then, is belief and application of an entire system of cosmic thought that results in a lifestyle of error. The lie is belief and application of an entire system of cosmic thought that results in a lifestyle of error. Therefore, it's not a lie, which is specific to a certain violation of biblical code, but the lie, which is making, therefore, an assumption of everything that a person possesses in his inventory of ideas constructed from the dark side. They operate on the lie, and everything that they know and execute is a lie, therefore they live a lie. And so Paul concludes verse 11 by emphasizing the result of those who matriculate in the Satanic Academy of Cosmic Didactics. Here's the expanded translation of verse 11. And so for this reason, God shall send them the modus operandi of delusion with the result that they might believe the lie. Now, I might pause on this verse just a little bit. There is the implication here. Let me read it again slowly. And so for this reason, well, what is the this reason here? To see the this reason, you have to go back to verse 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already operational. Okay, where are we? We're in the church age at that point. It all began in Eden. It has different implications in the dispensation of the Gentiles, the dispensation of Israel. There's another implication, more intense in the church age. This is the most active time of the angelic conflict. And then, of course, it shifts into high gear in the tribulation. So it says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already operational. Only he who restrains will continue that ministry of restraint until he's taken out of the way. The ministry of restraint is the Holy Spirit. He's able to keep things under a modicum of control in the souls of believers who have doctrine. And therefore, he'll be taken out of the way at the rapture, and all restraint will be removed at that time. So it continues in verse 8, at that time, the lawless one will be revealed. The lawless one is the beast dictator. Skip the parenthetical and go to verse 9. At that time, the lawless one will be revealed, whose presence in history shall be according to the modus operandi of Satan. That is the satanic system. There's an entire system that he constructs in order to delude the thinking of men and have them follow him, follow his leadership and his guidance. And therefore, the Satan-dwelt beast dictator is his spokesman. And therefore, he'll be given all power, and by means of extra-natural phenomena and pseudo-wonders through propaganda. So he'll have extraordinary powers to exhibit his leadership qualities to those who have no truth. And they'll follow him as a result. He'll be a slick-tongued rascal when it says propaganda here. And then it continues in verse 10, and by means of all delusions of unrighteousness, that's adikia, this is means no righteous concepts are communicated, they're all unrighteous, for those who are caused to be led astray. Caused how? By the propaganda of the dark side, the beast dictator and his emissaries, which are growing exponentially with each passing day. Unrighteousness of those who are caused to be led astray. And then to expand on that idea, they're going to be deprived, then they're going to be ruined, they're going to be destroyed among those who perish utterly. The idea and the grammar here is that these people are on the way to the sin unto death. They will perish utterly. And that'll be demonstrated at the baptisms of fire, where both Jew and Gentile unbelievers will be cast off the earth into the torments compartment of Hades. That's their destiny. Because they did not do what? They did not receive the love of the truth. That's idiomatic for the gospel. They rejected the presentation of the gospel. How did they do that? Well, there are 144,000 Jewish evangelists. There are Gentile evangelists. There are teaching angels. There are probably billions of Bibles lying around. There are electronic contrivances in this period of history. If the rapture occurred today, you would have all sorts of ways to communicate information. There would be Bible classes online. Some of them will be audio, video, streamed, or otherwise. You would have apps, Android and another kind. And you would have the Roku going. And God knows what, by the time the thing occurs, maybe it would just appear out of thin air. And so you would have available all of the information you would need to make a good decision. And so perishing utterly means that these people have gotten to the point of committing the sin unto death. Okay? Perish utterly. We did the exegesis on this because they did not receive the love of the truth. They rejected the gospel so as to be saved. And so they are moving toward the sin unto death. Verse 11. And so for this reason, what is the this reason? Go back to verse 7 and read forward through verse 10. For this reason, God shall send them the modus operandi of delusion. What does that mean? All they can think is dark side propaganda. They've closed their mind to any other info. Let's see if I can find this. Ah, nuts. This is where they live. They're living at reverse process reversionism. I want to tell you something about the church age and about people who live in it who are believers in Jesus Christ and those who are not. Some people make a mistake of believing in Jesus for salvation. Why do I say they make a mistake? Because they do nothing beyond that. They never enter a door of a church. They get propagandized by the dark side. They think it's a bunch of 2,000-year-old hooey. They see no reason for it. There are too many restraints, too many rules, too many guidelines, too many things to remember. It's just too strict. And so they decide to ignore it. And if they ignore this, what are they then going to start accumulating? First of all, they've got a pretty good inventory they brought in with them from the dark side already. Now they're going to compound that because they believe the lie. And they will believe the lie consistently. The dark side will constantly feed information into their souls and they will buy into it. They will become anti-Christian, anti-God, anti-Jesus, anti-church, anti-Bible. Millennials. And you know, there may be millennials that are in church and growing in grace and all that business, and they're saying, why are you isolating me? It's not you, dearly beloved. It's the general inventory of those of that age, that because they have been propagandized by the dark side in the federal schools. The population of that group, that age group, is overwhelmingly negative. Thank you for those who are not overwhelmingly negative. The total influence of evil and divorcement from reality is the mindset of these individuals in context. What was previously considered right is now considered to be wrong, and vice versa. It is the status quo of unrestrained and perpetual sinfulness, fragmentation, and excessive cosmic involvement. The believer is brainwashed by satanic propaganda. Okay, that's the status of these people. Now, with that in mind, let me see if I can drill down to my verse again. And so for this reason, God shall send them the modus operandi. This is the satanic system of delusion that they have already bought into, lock, stock, and barrel. There is no restraint. They've committed the sin unto death, or they are locked in to the baptism of fires division that will send them to torments. They are going to face that as well as the great white throne. The omniscience of God is able to pull this off, and the omniscience of God knows all that is knowable, knows about you, knows your inventory, knows how you think, knows not only what you will decide in the future, but how you reach that opinion in order to pull that volitional trigger. You can't buck his system. There's some people who need killing, but you can't do that. You're not allowed to be killing people, but some people die. Everybody's going to die if they keep breathing. And there's one day they just can't breathe anymore. Have you ever seen a person who was dying? Well, as long as they're breathing, they're living. Then all of a sudden they quit breathing. And then somebody says, well, Fred's dead. That can occur at 83. It can occur at 23. Why? How did they get there? Get hit by a train, whatever. I'm telling you that this entire process called human life is under the direct supervision of the God of this universe. It is His desire that all would come to salvation. Why not? He has set up a system where all could. All decide to use their free will, which is part of the angelic conflict's resolution, will use their free will to say, no, I don't want to do that. And so they die as an unbeliever. And as an unbeliever, they can acquire a great deal of information from the dark side and buy into that and think it's a great idea and live their life that way. But when they have negative impact on everything around them, and therefore it's detrimental to the process that God is trying to guide people toward, which is not only salvation, but also a life that is implicitly designed for them to have great success and prosperity in their earthly life, that can influence positively other people. And so for this reason right here, and right here, and right here, and right here, these people are deemed to be a detriment to everything that's going on in the dispensation of the tribulation. The Luciferian attack and assault has been so widespread and so effective, and it's gone on to such a degree with all of the multiplicity of electronic contrivances, everybody's being sucked into this entire thing. And there's some people who have to be removed from history. Some of them will die during the tribulation. Others will simply be cast off in the baptism of fire. So what does it mean here? And so for this reason, God shall send them the modus operandi of delusion. The question arises, why would God actively send to them something that's detrimental to them? Because that is what they want to hear. And he allows them to hear it because that's all they want to hear. They're locked into negative. They're in the eighth stage of reversionism. They are a detriment not only to themselves but others. And therefore, God allows them to buy the lie and do it in spades. They have callousness on their soul. That no truth can penetrate the callous. With the result, they might believe the lie. They've bought the lie lock, stock, and barrel up to this point. So now they're going to buy it some more. Every jot and tittle, every smooth and hard breathing. Why? In order that what? In order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness, which we haven't exegeted yet. That's next. You'd be happy to know there's only 12 verses in this paragraph. So, all of you who think that we haven't, you haven't done Is Jesus the Messiah yet. You're right. I am going to give a lecture, I guess, when I get done with this verse and I've bled everything out of it. That the key to the church age and your place in it started in A.D. 33. What was set up in A.D. 33 was a system by which you could have historical impact in your life, in your generation, that you are needed here to follow Jesus and His teachings. It is imperative that you do so in order for the Word of God to maintain its currency within a given population called a client nation. We've studied client nation. We've studied pivot. We've studied the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit. We've studied all of the things that are necessary for the Word of God to gain wide distribution in the souls of men and women who know the truth, can live the truth, and communicate the truth to those with whom they associate. It is a system that was set up in A.D. 33. Jesus Christ came in the prototype system. He was the prototype. He was the one that demonstrated it was efficacious. It was functional. It was real, and it was active, and it was, without a doubt, successful. If it's successful for him in the prototype, it'll be successful for us in the operational system. If it's operational for us, we have the historical impact that we are designed to have. If we decide to go with a lie as a detriment in the angelic conflict to the light that needs to be disseminated in a client nation, and therefore historical downtrends are the end result of that. Principle number one. Verse 11 reveals that God sends those who reject truth a modus operandi of delusion and error so that they might believe the lie. Two, the modus operandi is cosmos diabolicus and its cosmic curriculum, which is classified in four categories. Number one is cosmic one. Number two is cosmic two. Number three is reversionism. And number four has to do with sub-level courses and, first of all, propaganda, prestidigitation, ledger domain, lust pattern instigation, and disinformation. Going on daily. People have lost the thought in this country. The one thing you can say about the Trump fellow, you like him or not, I don't know what to think about this guy. That's the key with Trump is you don't know what to think. You know what to think about those other two on the other side, that they've demonstrated what they think. So you can say, well, I'm going to take a chance on a wild card or not. I don't care what you do. What I think is we are seeing play out before our very eyes a drama that has been gurgling in the cauldron for the last several decades. And now it's coming out in the clear light of day. We've lost the thought in this country. we're about to wind up with either hell in a handbasket, or we're going to wind up with something we don't even have any idea what's going to be. But I'll tell you this, you're going to have a good time dissecting the devil's world in the next 4 to 8 years. Not necessarily about those who are running either. Think through this. It's not who's running. It's who's going to elect those that will. Now, if you're a millennial, you need to start evangelizing your fellow youngsters. Because they are communists. They're in the Cosmic One, Cosmic Two. They're in reversionism, and they've taken sub-level courses in propaganda for most, if not all, of their academic career. God must allow there to be an alternative to truth. You hear me? There must be an alternative to truth. Why? Angelic conflict started in Eden. Let's just take a look at number four. Then I'll come back to three. This concept was organized in the Garden of Eden, where the Lord established a volitional challenge of the tree of human good and evil. Why? To test volition. That's the issue in the angelic conflict, is free will. I give you volition. You can choose as you wish. I'll provide the truth. Dark side will provide the lie. Let's see how it plays out. So God must allow there to be an alternative to truth. If all knowledge were absolute truth, then error would be impossible. That would be God. That would be the integrity of God. That would be His righteousness. His righteousness has no error. He is going to defend His righteous standards. That's where justice comes in. The two together make divine integrity. Therefore, He is going to say, there was negative volition among the angels, and that didn't play out well for them, but they complained that I wasn't fair to them, so now I'm going to tell you people who are less than they are, but have free will, you get a shot at this whole deal. Let's see how that plays out. I'm going to put a tree in the garden. Now, y'all decide how you're going to play that. And then when there was failure, He allowed them salvation through the death of an animal. They put on their coats of sheepskins. And then they started the angelic conflict. And here we are, many, many millennia later. How are you playing your hand? The angelic conflict centers around the challenge of human volition, choosing the truth or the lie. I'm telling you, we've lost the thought as a people. Look, I came here 31 years ago in 1990. It was July, as a matter of fact. I started a study called The Biblical View Towards Civil Disobedience. Because civil disobedience was ogling its ugly head from time to time back then. And all of that had to do with, it was a forerunner to what we see today. If you could see it in 1990, which we did, are we surprised in 2016 that it's come to flower? No, we're not, because the loss of thought guaranteed that. I don't know how to subtract 1990 from 2016, but there's several years involved. Several years are involved in that, and it has not gotten better except for a brief 8-year period in the 80s, which led up to the 90s. See, if you go through 88, there's a really good period there. And you move just to 1990. See, that's like the Bush 1 deal. 1990. It's 10 years until 2000. See, it's 26 years. I'm on a roll now. All right. The angelic conflict centers around the challenge of human volition choosing the truth over the lie. See? That's the whole deal. So who's going to choose which? You're in here, allegedly, to learn the truth for the purpose of applying it. The purpose of. All right. God has decreed to bless and reward those who believe the truth and utilize it in their decision-making process. What would those things be? You got a Bible. Application of doctrine to life in the areas of thought, decision, and action is the production of divine good. So how do you get involved in divine good? Apply the doctrines that you've learned from Bible studies, from your own private study, from reading the Bible, from whatever source you have decided to access. Thought, decision, and action, production of divine good. Start with thought. Has to be an inventory. Can't access what you don't have in the inventory. Then you pull a volitional trigger, decide to do that, and then action occurs. Application of truth to the world. Now, God has designed His system so that when truth is ignored or rejected in favor of the lie, the individual's options are thereby limited. You choose the lie, you limit your decision-making power, you limit your options in the future. You ultimately can lose your life under the sin unto death, which were noted in verse 11 we just finished. Now, those people may not all die the sin unto death, but they are going to be dismissed from this planet into the compartment of torments. So they're a loser either way. Application of the lie results in a lifestyle of error, a lifestyle of it. We have studied wheel tracks. You facilitate wheel tracks of wickedness, adikia, unrighteousness. You facilitate those. That's who you are. The one thing that all the media displays to us is the way people think. Fred Waters does this interview all the time on Bill O'Reilly. And he goes out and asks people who are university students, the most benighted in the world of people in a university, who was the first president of the United States? And they look bewildered. Oh. So president, huh? They don't know. When was the war between the states fought? The 1980s. Who's Robert E. Lee? They don't know. Who's Abraham Lincoln? All they know about Abe. They don't know much about Abe, but they know he did the Gettysburg Address. Everybody knows that. What was the Gettysburg Address? Oh, it was something like a State of the Union speech. So what I'm showing you is you are surrounded by doofi who have degrees, and they wonder why they can't get a job. Man is free to personally consider all facts, true or false, and accept one or the other. But what is the misery of it, friends, is that they don't know how to decide. They are vacuous. We have a country of vacuous people. You say, why are you railing on the people of the United States? They need to be railed upon. Not you guys. You at least showed up. You've given it a go. You've done your best, I guess. I can't follow you around. But you're here, and you're awake primarily. That's start right there. But I keep up with things. Barna does these things and it says, how many people actually go into church? Who is it that's a really committed Christian? Get this. Someone who attends a church once a month and reads their Bible every now and then and prays. Now, if they were ever broke that down, who is it that's growing in grace, commits some portion of every day to the study of the Word? They devote themselves to applying what they learn, and they love Jesus. How about that? What would that number be? And I'm telling you, we have a nation of doofi. Spiritually, theologically, biblically, we do not have a great number of people in what's called the pivot. Therefore, there's a shrinking pivot. Historical downtrend is occurring, and I'm railing about it. I'm feeling much better now. God has revealed truth in the form of biblical doctrines. He has provided a method of accepting truth through a system called faith. You just have to believe it. For those who respond, there's a system of inculcation. We call the grace apparatus for perception, or Operation Z. We noted that. I'm not going to show it to you again. You know it by heart. That's the system. And it's a process of taking in information and processing it through volitional will. Yes, I believe that. And that adds to your inventory. And over time, that piece of information expands to a constellation of thought regarding several categories of systematic theology. So you can reference that when you need it. Make correct application to life. People who don't study the Bible can't do that. To be fair to those that respond to His grace provision of the Holy Spirit as our teacher under the filling ministry, the Father must discipline those who reject it. Set up the system. Why don't we look at the system? Let's see if I can find it. There. There's a whole system set up on how to do this. What is the key ingredient here? The Holy Spirit here. Holy Spirit runs this show. How does this all happen? Well, that's the 1 John 1:9 thing. That activates it, and so the pastor gets up and bloviates. Well, the Holy Spirit's got to do something with that, so He breaks it down. And you get over here into human spirit, and you get academic understanding. Do you at least understand the idea? Do you get the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit? Have you nailed that down yet? This is very important. So you've gotten that through the academic understanding. You said, I get that. I know there's a system underway here. It's been here since A.D. 33, and it is critical to the advancement of Christianity in this dispensation. And I want to be a part of that. Team Raw. And so you get the transfer over here to Cardia. That's where it's retained for long-term memory, and therefore that is a process that would give you a neural network of wheel tracks of righteousness. Over time, that builds up. Therefore, you're moving forward in your problem-solving devices. You're headed toward the copacetic spiritual life. How about that one? Exoterike, harmonia. What's wrong with that? Got anybody you still hate? Hope they die in a fire? Just keep moving forward. Save their life and yours too. To be fair to those that respond to His grace provision of the Holy Spirit as our teacher under the filling ministry, the Father must discipline those who reject the truth. Discipline them. How does that happen? They respond to the circumstance with negative volition. He set up a system where negative volition was a part of the contest. He allows that to occur. He restrains it in the church age, as we've learned, but He lets it function. How can you function in an environment that's constantly trying to propagandize you? How can you do that when the entire system is set up to defeat you? Well, you've got a system. The Z deal told you how. So to be fair to those that respond to His grace provision of the Holy Spirit as our teacher under the filling ministry, the Father must discipline those who reject it. Consequently, the lie is permitted to function alongside truth to provide volition a choice. Provide volition a choice. Whatever endeavor you engage, volition is the issue. Unless you are damaged in the brain, some people are. They come here that way. Some people are damaged in the brain because of injury. Some people have a disease that caused them to be damaged in the brain. But these are things that occur in the normal run of life. The overwhelming percentage of people have an ordinary brain. What allows one person to take in a tremendous amount of positive data and therefore develop an inventory that provides for them the ability to move through life in a very successful way, whether it be in the devil's world functioning there, or a person who knows a lot about the Bible. And another person with a functional brain who doesn't get any of that. What is the difference between the two as far as their brains are concerned? Absolutely nothing. So how does this occur? Incoming data. You take a computer. It knows nothing. It's got a hard disk, so I'm told. And you can sit down and feed data into that computer. It can be nothing but stuff. It's Sunday, so let's call it stuff. Or you can feed into it a great deal of very positive information. What does the computer know? A computer doesn't know anything. You can ask it a question, I don't know anything. You just have to tell me what you want me to know. Same with the brain, it's a computer. We learned this. It's far more functional than your most happy computer in your iPhone. The brains are the same. The incoming data is different. What's the filter between the two? Volition. So volition becomes the issue in the angelic conflict then, doesn't it? So how you decide? I've decided I want to know the truth. And so Pilate would say, what is truth? And Jesus said back to him, nothing. He didn't say a word to him. He was looking at the truth. He was listening to the truth. And he asked the truth a question. And the truth just said, you know, I'm done here. So it's all about your brain. Your brain's fine. God permits mankind to express negative volition toward revealed truth. He permits it because it's part of the contest. He permits negative volition to manifest itself in human good and evil. It'll manifest itself eventually. You are who you are. God's system even permits the negative individual to find pleasure in unrighteousness. We see that in Romans chapter 1. Find pleasure in it. You can develop in your soul your concepts of goodness and pleasure and happiness and then pursue that. And it works out fine for a while. But the lie can never gain credence. The lie can never be successful over the long haul. When the sin nature is unshackled by volitional descent from the truth, its lust patterns are free to follow the desires of that individual. If there's no restraint by incoming data from the Word of God, then you are allowing your volitional decisions to be influenced by lust patterns. And you'll justify how it's okay. However, the cosmic reversionist is left with no complaint when the justice of God condemns them for their poor decisions. How does this condemnation occur? Poor decisions limit future options. And there's such a thing as a battlefield execution. That would be the sin unto death. So 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 12. Here is the New American Standard, and here's how it reads. And you need to go back if I can find one of these things. There. We're going to go to 12 now, but the sentence started in 11. So we'll start with 11, and it's expanded now. And so for this reason, God shall send them the modus operandi of delusion with the result that they might believe the lie. Lock, stock, and barrel, every jot and tittle. They want to know it. They love hearing it. Verse 12, why? In order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth. That's the gospel. These people are unbelievers. But, listen to this, took pleasure in wickedness, adikia, unrighteousness. The lie overwhelmed the truth. Why did he allow this? Because these people made consistent volitional decisions over a long period of time that developed for them an inventory that was complacent in and respondent to the dark side's propaganda. And a person can just do that so long before they have to be dealt with by various means of discipline. And it can be the sin unto death, or it can be just an absolute miserable life. And it's not because anybody made them do it. They made a series of decisions over time that led them to their unfortunate moment where they look in the mirror and say, I have brought myself to this instant. And I use my own free will to do it. We'll resume our study at 2 Thessalonians 2:12 on Wednesday evening. Now, Father, we thank you for the opportunity of studying these things today, and we thank you for this passage, for it has revealed to us both sides of the contest. We have your word, immutable, available to us. Free will accesses it. We can follow the lie. We can move our thought processes to the dark side, and our volition can do that. So we're in a battle. Actually, we're in a war. It's ongoing. We're involved in it. We're combatants for Jesus Christ and His army. But we have to have the artillery in order to play a good game here. Motivate and encourage us to use our divinely decreed volition to accept the truth and trump the lie. May we be encouraged by this opportunity as we lift our prayer of gratitude in the name of Christ our Savior. Charis human kai rene, plethun thae in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu himon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, shall we stand as we sing.